Welcome back to the Bleed Black and Gold podcast, a Bruins podcast presented by Boston Sports Syndicate. I'm your host, Michael Travers, and with me I have my other two co-hosts, Mr. Ryan Daly and Mr. Waba Plays. Waba, we'll start with you. How are we doing today?
Hi, I'm good. I was just doing numbers for fake offline hockey.
Yeah, that's big time. That's actually going to be one of the topics we talk about tonight. Big new release. So that was my
evening. But no, I'm well. We actually have hockey to talk about. Hockey actually started, but yeah.
And Ryan, what's going on?
Not too much. I'm excited to be here.
Wow. Way to bring the energy there.
I'll save the energy. Because I already know I'm probably going to get fired up about something stupid Waba says. So.
Almost always. I'll have you know, I just ordered not a Trent Frederick card, but a Jack Stadnica one.
Yeah, smart.
Because I've seen the light a little bit. Not fully.
I thought he was going to say I just ordered a Trent Frederick jersey, and I was just about to just sign off.
No. I actually made what you would consider in the business a good investment.
Actually, that's not a terrible introduction to what we can talk about to lead off here, which is the Bruins actually set their lineup for the beginning of the season, and you say you see the light with Stanika, and you're out on Trent Frederick. That's what I heard.
Oh, no, I'm not.
And ironically enough, Frederick makes the final roster.
Let's go.
And Stanika doesn't.
Well, two drastically different positions.
Well, I mean, one plays wing, one plays center. But I'd argue this team's one, not.
One is a future top six forward, and one is a fourth liner.
A career fourth liner. So I think the big surprise is Stanika didn't make the roster. Like, I feel like he played well enough in the preseason to make the roster, and yet he's sent back down to Providence, and he'll start his year in Providence. So I think personally, I'm a little disappointed. I would personally have loved to have seen him, you know, start the season in Boston. I don't know if he's third line or what, but I'd rather see him up here than being down in Providence. I was a little bit surprised.
I wouldn't say I was surprised. I just because you can't not play Coyle, at least right now, because you pay him too much. Like, that's like sending John Moore to the minors. Oh, wait. But
oh, awkward.
Yeah. But seriously, I mean, it makes sense. And, you know, to give him, what is it? What are you going to stick him at? Line three, which has been great? No, so you're going to put him at line four and have him play, what, 6 minutes a game instead of getting, what, 10, 12 at?
Yeah, no, I understand the logic behind it. I just feel like he played well enough that he probably could be on that third line.
He'd be playing in, like, probably 60% of teams.
You know, Lazar's out, so your fourth line center is Nosek. I mean, I understand you don't want him necessarily playing fourth line minutes, but with the way that the Bruins use their fourth line, at least in the past, they use their fourth line pretty regularly. I mean, he's not going to see 20 minutes, obviously, but they use their fourth line pretty regularly, more than I think a lot of teams do. And I think he could have filled that role. And then Lazar comes back from injury, and then it's like, oh well, sorry, kid.
Get him in the AHL, get him the reps, get him time. He's clearly ready. They're just probably waiting for a reason to get him in there. But you got to give Coyle the shot because I've heard he did well. And, you know, it's also going to push him to do better because he's got stud right behind him, ready to take his job.
The other thing you could do is slot everyone down. Leave Coleman on the lineup, put Foligno on the fourth line, put Smith on the third line, move Coyle to the wing. And then there's your second line center in Stadnik. I just feel like he played well enough. He played really well in the preseason, and I think he played well enough to be able to make the roster, and I think he got shafted a little bit there. Big Country, what do you think?
No, I mean, I agree. I'd rather have him be down in the A, getting more minutes, you know, seeing more ice time than him, you know, getting 5-6 minutes on the fourth line. I think if Coyle re-aggravates this injury or this surgery that he had in the offseason, there'll be no hesitation. You'll see Stanika slide right into that slot on the second line. I think the Bruins kind of have this set up where it's like they got their line set, and then they got the players that will, you know, slot in right in those specific lines, so they don't have to shuffle the line, so they can keep, you know, the chemistry together year round with the, you know, the players playing with each other. Unless, again, you know, this name comes up quite frequently on this podcast. If there's a move for Jake DeBrusk coming up, you know, sooner rather than later, you might see DeBrusk be moved out from potentially draft picks, and you could see Stanika slot right into that DeBrusk spot.
Well, Hollo would move over, and Stanika would go to the middle. So they want Stanika to play center. And he was your Krejci insurance policy, and he could even be your Bergeron insurance policy at this point. Not saying he is Bergeron or will be Bergeron, but the fact that Bergeron could be leaving, he hasn't signed yet. He's on his final year of the deal. He could be out. He could be insurance policy for either one of those. And so I think the fact that they want him to play the middle of the ice probably is the reason why he's not here, not on the roster too, because. I mean, I guess they're loaded up the middle. Not really. But that's the consensus anyway, that they're loaded up the middle, which I don't think I necessarily agree with. But neither here nor there. Do either of you have any surprises with the roster? Any surprise in having Wagner waived and having John Moore waived? Or any surprises out of the final roster for you?
Moore, no. Wagner, kind of. It seems like they have a lot of bottom six guys, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Bleed making on, who follows me on Twitter, so I'm stoked. Obviously, he's going to be like a, you know,
healthy scratch.
He replied to my tweet and said, let's go fifth line. But I'm, you know, it's just cool to see some of those folks make it. I know I said this last time, but like, you know, it doesn't always have to be like the top two lines. Obviously, we have Stadnika, but like to have like some of those people who've kind of paid their dues and now they're kind of getting a shot, and hopefully they make the most of it. And hopefully we don't have injuries, but if we do, it's weird to be in a position like we lose our number two center and like we're fighting over who's going to take a spot. Like what other, like I don't know a lot of other teams that have that kind of luxury.
Yeah,
so
but
we're in an interesting position.
Yeah, but it's a significant downgrade in talent, even from Krejci to Coyle. I think it's a significant downgrade. In talent, and it's not like you have it's not like you have Crosby and Malkin fighting for the top line center duties. You know, I mean, like I said, it's not at that level. But as far as bottom six goes, I think that they needed some stability in not necessarily the bottom six, but I'd guess it would be the middle nine. The middle three there, like the 7, 8, 9 guys, the third line. I think getting a little bit more skill there because they were. I think that's an upgrade. And then I feel like the rest are just like interchangeable. And I think that's why you saw Wagner get waived, is because Frederick, Coleman, Wagner, I guess Bleed can get into that conversation too, just because he responded to you on Twitter. You can come on anytime.
And Nosek too.
And Nosek, I feel like they're just kind of all interchangeable. Like, I don't know. Coleman looked okay at points, and he even played up on. Didn't he play up on with Bergeron and Marchand for a little bit when Pastrnak got hurt? Maybe he's a little younger, a little faster than Wagner. But either way, it's basically the same player to me. It's basically the same player, and I'd argue Bleed and Frederick are arguably the same. Wawa just likes bad players.
I don't know. My God, I just.
That's where I've landed. Wawa just likes. I think he just wants to root for the underdog.
I do. I think I relate to that a lot.
You think?
I'm also short, and sometimes there are shorter plays in the bottom six.
You think? Yeah, Marchand. You think that Anton Bleed is sitting at home doing spreadsheets on the benefit of playing squad battles on All-Star?
I know he played NHL 21. That's how I like interacted with him first, because he's like got the hockey gloves on. He's like, who wants to play? I'm like, dude, let's like put in work. And
he's the Wawa plays of the Bruins. He's at home doing spreadsheets on to give the fourth line 6 minutes or 5 minutes.
I'm about to enlighten this community with some math, my guy.
Oh boy.
Let's wait a little bit. Let's talk about NHL a little bit first before we talk any more about the Bruins. probably the biggest news of the week, I think, or the 2 weeks. I don't think we didn't meet last week, right? So it'd be the biggest news of the last 2 weeks is the fact that NHL 22 has been released. It to be fair, it came out as the EA Play trial. So you get a 10 hours to play unless you're a hotshot like Wawa. You get 10 hours to play if you own EA Play. And then the early release X Factor edition was released Tuesday, and that's 4 days early. The actual game will come out at midnight Thursday night at midnight, Friday morning. How does that work? I don't know.
It comes out at midnight tonight Eastern because we're the best.
Comes out at 12 o'clock on Friday, early Friday morning, late Thursday night. I know you both have been playing. I know you both have been streaming it. I'd like to hear your thoughts so far on the game. And I know Waba has to say everything's all peachy and great, so I'll start with Big Country first.
I'm actually very impressed currently. The game feels smooth. Honestly, what I've really kind of taken away from this game so far is, like, if you actually have, like, the knowledge of the game hockey and, like, you can play the game hockey, like, it actually benefits you. Like, I don't have...
Hockey IQ is high in this game.
Yeah. If you, like, I've been doing the Hockey Ultimate Team, which is, like, pretty much just, like, a fantasy-based team for people that don't really know what it is. Waba can go a little deeper into his EA knowledge or whatever he has. Like, I don't have the stronger players on my team, so I'm not, like... my team's not good, but I've been running up against these, what I like to call them, credit card teams have the
McDavid's pay to win
and they have the Austin Matthews. Exactly. And I've been taking these teams to OT, like, game after game, like, you know, like, just being able to play defensively sound in this game so far. I'm going to preface everything by so far, because EA has done this in the past. The game at the beginning is generally pretty good. Then you get your whiners. I'm not going to. The whiners of the community
will come out. Game changers.
And they will.
Kidding.
You know, moan and say this game is too hard. And then they put the tuners out to make the game easier for the people that don't.
Yeah.
Who can't adapt. So, but as of right now, you know.
So it happens. You're right. It happens every year. The game comes out. It feels realistic. It feels like it's going to be like a more realistic game, which is something that I think everybody wants. And then the top 1% of the players complain, and then it just becomes an arcade game again, and all the games become 7-6 and 8-7, and it's just all cross creases and short side snipes. So, Waba, what are your takeaways?
So I have no hockey IQ. Some might say I have no IQ in general, which is fair. I think it's great. And again, this isn't like hashtag ad. They don't pay me, unfortunately. But it feels different. And the passing lanes, if you have somebody there, like actual hockey, they'll intercept it. You don't have to you can't rely on the one-timer, which is what I do. And so I'm okay with that change, even though it kind of made me change my game up. And I like that there are certain cards out there, mainly because the Bruins top line has them. Pasta, Marchand, and Bergeron that you can get called X-Factor cards, which are really good. They have like special like abilities, and you can upgrade them as the season goes on. So if you do get one of these, instead of ditching this really cool card that you have because you got a better one or whatever, you can actually bring it with you the whole way through. So that's kind of neat. So I'm trying to get that Pasternak so I can keep him the whole way. And there's a lot of like quality of life changes. A lot of things they made better, like listing in the auction house, one touch, like, you know, relist. And they're going to be changing up how sets are done, which we don't know till tomorrow. There's a Jagr card coming out with a mullet. I love it. But they're getting like rid of, like, they're changing the economy. We don't really know how, but it's just cool that they're trying something different anyway, because the past 2 years have been the same and it's been so like monotonous where it's like, all right, I'm prepping in the beginning of the year cause I know what's coming. And now nobody has an idea.
It's
cool.
Hut becomes stale very, very fast. And I think it's the same, you know, squad battles, rivals. It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. But there are, I mean, even just the addition of the X Factor stuff is new. I mean, in the game itself, I mean, Madden's had it for, I don't know, 5 years. So naturally NHL just got it because that's the way it goes. So, but it does feel, the gameplay feels better. I was 100% on board with everything you guys just said, except I play Hutt and I play EASHL, which is you have one guy, you control one guy, and then you play with five other people, and they control the other five guys on the ice, and you play 6v6 or 4v4 or whatever it is, whatever you want. And that game mode is already broken. It's already – the game hasn't even officially released yet. I played three games last night. I got sync looped in two of them where, for whatever reason, the first penalty that got taken, the game just went on sync loop. The game just – it just said sync, syncing, 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 and never came out of it until we quit. The first penalty of both games, for whatever reason, just all of a sudden into this sync loop, and it makes the game unplayable. The Hutt hasn't happened to me in Hutt, but happened to me in two. I played three, like I said, I played three games last night. Happened in two of them. That's not okay. I mean, and I understand it's not technically released yet, and maybe there'll be a patch first thing when it comes out tomorrow. I don't know, or at midnight. I don't know, but it just feels like they delayed the release, and it still feels like last year it felt like they didn't put out a complete game. It just felt like it wasn't quite ready. And it feels like that this year. The gameplay itself is, I agree with both of you, it's amazing. The fact that you can't just throw 900-mile-an-hour passes this year because your guy won't pick it up is amazing. It's amazing, the little details that they added. But then they have these syncing issues. And it could be because they're trying to run on four servers, which I think is a stupid idea right from the beginning. You're running two Xbox and two PlayStation servers on the 4 or 5 Series X and then the regular Xbox One. Stupid. Absolutely stupid. But the gameplay feels good.
I'd expect maybe a day one, and that comes out tomorrow. There usually is for games, and what you kind of get is, like, they've already addressed, like, okay, we know we have looping things, we're going to address it, like the EA Play trial. Like, yeah, you technically pay for it, but, like, you're kind of beta testing, so.
Yeah, yeah. You know, sure, but it, I don't know, it just feels like there's a lot of bugs, and it feels like it's on the EASHL side, not so much the Hutt side. They put a lot of focus in the Hutt, which I guess makes sense, because that's where people spend their money. They can buy packs, and they can do it. So I get that. But there's a large community, a very, very, very large community who plays EASHL, and like it's already turning people sour, and the game hasn't even been released yet. And it's like, oh, it just sucks. It just sucks. So the Hutt. So every year, every time that the new NHL is coming out, like the week before, I'm like, you know what? This is gonna be the year. I'm gonna stream. I'm gonna play my Hutt team. I'm gonna grind. I'm only gonna play NHL for a while. Like it happens with when the show comes out, I'll only play the show and I'll grind. I'll get really good cards. I'll get really good. Every single year, that's what I say. This year, fired up the EA Play trial and hopped on the Hutt. Played my first game, which was probably 3 or 4 hours into the Hutt trial. I'm playing McDavid, McKinnon, Kucherov, Hedman. I'm like, that's on one team. How does that happen?
Yeah, Kev wrecked you, filthy casual. That's
what
happens.
I got blown out.
You deserve it. You should spend more money.
9-2. I'm like, that's it. Never mind. Not playing this year. Not grinding. Not doing it. And then I kept playing. I kept trying. And I was just like, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just bad. But like, I was like, every game I played, I was playing mid to high 90s. The game came out 2 hours ago, and kids have it just it sucks. It sucks.
Those credit card teams, you see these streamers that are like $500 in pack opening. It's like,
yeah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
No thanks. I don't mind grinding for my team.
I need to get the sponsorship that'll pay for pack openings. Like $500 pack opening sponsored by Bungus Energy Drink. Like,
yeah, right.
I need that kind of deal.
No, you don't. Play the game.
You don't want to get sponsored by Bungus Energy to open free stuff?
No. If I'm going to get sponsored by whatever energy, then I'll put it to good use. I don't want $500 in packs. Play the game.
That's why you lose.
Seriously, I had like a 67 left wing on my third line, and this kid's got like Marchand on his third line. I'm like, what? How is this fair? Like, and you got to get through the rankings or whatever, and then it matches you up with your own tiers. But it was brutal that first. It was like 9-2. I got my doors blown off. It was brutal.
Yeah, get wrecked, man. And then there's a whole like economy part of it, like the buying and selling players. I bought one player on midnight release at like 1 a.m. for 25K. It was an 83 some Canadian legend icon. I then listed him for 190,000 because I thought it'd be funny. And then I screwed over some kid in Quebec when he said yup, and he bought it. So I just had all the crap load of coins on day one. Not to mention, he pre-ordered the game, which means that he could have chosen that player from one of the pre-order packs.
Oh my
today.
God! No, the packs haven't come. The packs I don't think have come out yet because I was just playing.
It just came out at 8 p.m.
Great. I gotta go.
If you guys want to open them live on, just for the Bruins fans to know, I screwed over somebody who's probably a Montreal fan. I did my part. I'm defending the wall. Now it's up to you. Do you do your part against the Canadiens?
All right, and I think we covered the NHL part of it enough. Now let's get to the actual NHL and how they screwed things up to start the season. The hockey season started on Tuesday. Correct me if I'm wrong here. October 12th. The season started. We're sitting here October 14th, 2 days. Now, two would be three nights of games because it's 8:30, so the third night of games has started. And we still have yet to watch a Bruins game because the Bruins obviously didn't play opening night and have yet to play these two nights. So we'll get to watch a game tomorrow night, right? Nope. We have to wait till Saturday to get the first Bruins game. 12, 13, 14, 15, 5 days into the hockey season, we still did not have a hockey game. And now the Bruins will play the Stars on Saturday night. First of all, why the heck do we have to wait 5 nights before we can watch the Bruins play? When the Bruins the Bruins are one of the most popular teams in the league. How do they push them off until the fifth night?
I have no idea. And if you recall, Bruins were like the first ones to finish their preseason schedule too. So they've had like 2 weeks off before. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Penguins played like Monday night, and then they played opening night because they played their last preseason game on like actually it was Saturday. They played Saturday, and then they turned around and played opening night on Tuesday. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Tampa's already gonna get a playoff spot by the time the Bruins play their first game.
Tampa's going to be 0-2 after tonight.
Who do they play tonight?
They're already down 1-0 to Detroit.
They're not losing to Detroit.
Oh, Christ.
That's not going to last.
Oh, I hope so. That's so funny.
No way that lasts. But anyway.
I wish we had something to watch. It makes no sense. I'm actually surprised. I thought they were playing tomorrow. But to hear that you have to wait one additional day,
Saturday. Which I guess starting on Saturday. You're playing the Stars, but, NHL announces this big partnership, big TV partnership. So they got ESPN, TNT, first night, all the games are on ESPN. ESPN Plus is covering if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch basically every single game, as long as it's not in your market. And TNT's on, they got Gretzky doing a pregame show, they get All-Time Low to kick off the whole thing. It was nice. It was a good little entertainment bit there. And they don't play one of their most popular teams until Saturday. I get the Knights playing the Kraken opening night. That makes sense to me.
The Bruins can you believe Saturday? How bad the Kraken are that they haven't won a game in their whole franchise history?
Yeah, they're terrible.
They might not. they never won a game.
Yeah, they're probably never, not going to win a game.
They have the worst record of any team.
No, Toronto's
ever
the
right
worst. Maybe Arizona, too.
You know who scored the first goal for the Kraken, though, in the history of the franchise?
I don't.
Boston Bruin legend Ryan Donato.
Donato.
Oh, did he? I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're gonna hang his number in the rafters for game two. But he made it. I guarantee that puck's in like the Kraken Hall of Fame, which is basically like a some office professor right now. But
yeah,
that thing's gonna be saved.
I'll tell you what, though. I do love their uniforms. I'll tell you what. Tell you that for free.
They actually made it a game on Tuesday night.
No, they did. And they're just not going to – they're not going to be good. They're not going to be competitive. And I've said this before. After they did their draft, it's unfortunate that Vegas has had so much success right out of the jump because it almost felt like the teams didn't really know what an expansion draft was and just like left really good players unprotected. And then the Knights were just loaded season one. And then, come in 3 years later, they're like, no, we're not making that same mistake again. And so the Kraken just got nothing.
Well, Vegas crushed it because they were like, okay, if you don't protect this person, you owe us a pick. It was like wheeling and dealing. And I thought the Kraken were going to do some of that. Like, they took the goalie from Washington to trade him back. Like, they have so much leverage over these teams, and they just didn't use it. It's like they were scared to like make enemies. But Vegas did it. I thought Vegas screwed everybody they could, and honestly, good for them.
No, Vegas definitely did it right. Seattle did not do it at all.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if Vegas did it right or just other teams just didn't know what to expect. Like, they just didn't know. Like, it was almost like they didn't know the rules. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what was happening. They just, like, walked in and were like, we're going to protect this guy, but not this guy. And then Vegas was like, okay, fine. If you protect that guy, you have to trade us a pick, but we're going to still take this other guy anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
And where the hell's Luzon? He's not playing.
Yeah, he did. He played the first game.
Oh, did he? Thank God. Because I'm like, if you're going to take that guy from us, you better put him in the lineup.
Yeah, no, you got a point. I'm pretty sure he got a point, didn't he?
I think so. He did. Yeah, he was definitely
playing. Yeah, an assist.
Still pissed about it.
Good scouting, Waba.
You think I'm watching Kraken games?
Where was he? I didn't even see him out there. Did he even play? Gun assist.
Whatever. Dude, it's a weak assist.
Yeah, weak assist.
Weak. Okay.
He's not on the fourth line, so I don't care about him.
Facts.
I know Big Country watched it. The Seattle Kraken Vegas Golden Knights intro. And you had to watch it. I know you did. I know Waba didn't watch it, because why would he watch it?
Literally just rewatched it before we started.
Quote, recording. Why would he watch it? What, I mean, some people don't like the whole Vegas thing. They think it's a little tacky, it's a little cheesy, it's a little... I think those are the right words. A little tacky, a little cheesy. What do you think?
I love it. And I've gone to a game in Vegas, and it is electric. Like, their whole production crew that they put on, like... I mean, it's Vegas. You're there to see a show, and you are seeing a show. It's legit a show before a hunt. You're getting a 2-for-1 for those, for those tickets. Like, and even, like, Vegas just does it. Like, obviously, it's, like, nice out there, like, all year round. But they have this giant, like, pregame party right outside. Like, it is a blast. If you ever have the chance to go to a game in Vegas, do it. It is so much fun.
It's a spectacle. I think that's the best way to describe it. It's a spectacle for people watching a game on Vegas. But I agree that the on ice stuff, the before the game stuff, it's incredible. Like the, I don't know, is it graphics? I don't know what that would be, but it's awesome. It was great in the playoffs. The fans, if you can't see me, air quotes, fans. Are always excited. I swear, like, people are just walking on the strip, and then they're just like, oh, well, there's a hockey rink here. Let's go in there.
I hope so. Because I know they're the people that just pull you in, the promoters. I want one, but for them to be giving me Vegas or Golden Knights tickets.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. That's what happens. They just find, like, the rowdiest, drunkest group, and they're like, here you go. Here's Golden Knights tickets. I could be wrong, but that's what it feels like. And it is. It's on. Isn't there a nightclub in there? Isn't the second floor a nightclub?
No.
Are you sure? I'm almost positive.
Not that I saw.
Is it T-Mobile?
Yeah.
T-Mobile Arena.
I mean, it's attached to the MGM.
I thought that they had
in the MGM, but I don't think there's a nightclub inside of the arena.
I'm fairly certain that there's one, because there's a stage that, or I guess it would be a balcony that you walk out on, and you can like overlook the whole rink, the whole arena.
Yeah, I think that's where they have like their, like, I don't know what they call them, but they have like chair crowd, like where they have the guys like banging the drums and like they have like their dances up there, like
it's a club. Not technically a club.
It's not a club.
It's just like a big. It's like a big bar. It's like a big bar area.
Yeah, but I think that's more.
This
for,
looks like a club. This looks like a club. Hyde Lounge, upscale Hyde Lounge is what it's called.
Why Hyde?
Hyde.
Well, they probably put that in when they only did like concerts there, but like they probably just utilized that for, their like chair crowd. Club.
And I can see hockey seats here. Like staging, seating. Maybe I'm crazy.
Can a degenerate who knows Vegas really well write us?
Yeah, right? I mean, to be fair, I was highly intoxicated when I did go to the game in Vegas, but...
You were that rowdy, drunk guy they asked.
I was there for my job.
He got the tickets. Only Las Vegas can take a great thing like the high T-Mobile Arena and make it famously famous. Legendary and decadent. Combines the same characteristics with the thrilling Sin City party life, larger-than-life vibe of game nights, and a powerful class performances, sophisticated, well-thought-out venue for an unforgettable evening. 18,000 square feet of fun space. Sound system for an open-air party. Jumbotron. Panoramic views of the Jumbotron. Perfect balcony for stories, posts, and reels. Culinary treats. And a DJ. This is a nightclub.
Yo, I want the DJ to DJ me watching the game.
That's what happens.
What do half those words mean? I hate the buzz, like the Vegas buzz. Decadent?
Decadent, sophisticated, well thought out, which is
hyphenated. Dude, there are people buying $10 beers and throwing up on the person in front of them. Like, what do you mean? Like, opulence.
Anyway. All right, let's talk about the Bruins. I'd like to talk about the Bruins. Let's talk about predictions. Let's talk about where we think the Bruins are going to land this season, where they're going to finish, who's going to be their MVP, all that great stuff. So we'll start. Where, first of all, do you think the Bruins are going to make the playoffs? Very easy, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are they going to finish in their division? Where do you see them slotting in inside of their division? Back to the regular divisions, by the way.
Yeah. Do you remember those teams, Waba? Do we need to run them down
Boston,
for you?
Florida. Toronto, Tampa, Ottawa, Montreal, Detroit. I'm missing one. Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, well, they're missing too. So we don't. scared of Tampa, also kind of based on. Well, they're beating the Leafs 3-0. But Ottawa?
No.
They've been building for a while. You think they can do well this year?
No. No.
But I'm scared of Tampa.
Tampa, Florida.
Florida, yeah. Tampa, Florida. Not scared of Toronto. Not
oh,
scared
I am.
Of Montreal.
Are you kidding?
Toronto?
Are you kidding?
With Nick Ritchie and Andre Kasha?
Yeah, yeah, those are big players right there.
No, I wouldn't take out Marner during like three seasons.
I wouldn't necessarily say that the bottom six of that lineup scares me, but although Nick Ritchie's on the top line.
So should I repeat my statement that Toronto doesn't scare me?
I didn't realize. Tavares, Spezza. I mean, Spezza's old. Spezza, Simmons.
You literally have Tavares.
Nylander.
They have
Marner.
They have offense. They don't have defense. They don't have goaltending.
Brody, Morgan Riley. They have defense. Jake Muzzin's there. I don't know who their goalie is at the moment, though. Mrazek. Like a Jack Campbell, though. I would say it's going to be – so there's – I would say the clear number one in the division is going to be Tampa. Clear. Yep. I don't think that's up for debate. Two, I honestly think is going to go to Florida. So I think it's going to be a battle between Toronto, Boston, and Montreal. And honestly, I think there's a chance that both of those teams could finish ahead of the Bruins. Chance. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it'll be Tampa, Florida, Boston – Toronto. Only because Carey Price can't figure out what he's doing. Not only on the ice, but just it feels like in life. He doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah, them losing him, and again, I know he has his reasons. That's definitely a big hit for them. I don't know if they expected that, so I don't know what their goaltending situation's like, but losing Carey Price is gonna really impact that team.
They have Jake Allen, who I don't feel is a slouch, but he's not Carey Price.
Wouldn't he be more of like a Halak?
No, he's probably a little bit better than Halak. I would,
like a 1A, 1B.
In their primes, Halak would have been better, I think. So maybe that's a good comparison. Good call. Good call, Waba.
That's what I do, man.
Great work. Proud of you.
But I mean, if you go back to last year, like if Montreal was in a regular division, they wouldn't even made the playoffs. Like, are you just like, is this just recency bias because they went to the Stanley Cup and beat their contender? I don't see them as a contender whatsoever.
I'm not saying they're going to be a. I mean, they went to the Stanley Cup, but I'm not going to say that they're a Stanley Cup contender. But I think they're in the I think they're in the conversation with Toronto and maybe even the Bruins on being the third team in the division. And I only say that because the other three teams are putrid. So those top four or five teams are going to beat up on the bottom three teams, as is the rest of the league. So like that's going to keep these teams all kind of clustered and in contention. So it's really going to be about how they play against each other. like how Toronto plays Boston, how Montreal plays Toronto, and you know, you get what I'm saying. And I think that they're all in that same. Now the Bruins are probably a little bit better, maybe to use Waba. They're the 1A of that group, and then Toronto and Montreal are the 1B of that group. But I think they're in that same group with Tampa and Florida both ahead of them.
I agree. I think the Bruins have so much talent, and like I can't see them not making the playoffs compared to like some of these other teams. Like, yeah, I get Montreal's got some like cool goal scorers, whatever, but I don't think, like, I'm shocked they made it where they did. They didn't, in my opinion, they didn't deserve to be there. Granted, would I rather them won over Tampa? Maybe, but I don't know. I can't see those other teams beating the Bruins and making their way to the playoffs over them. I just don't see it happening.
Where do you have the Bruins finishing?
In the division. Not above, I would say 2 or 3.
Second.
Oh, better than Florida. I think we're in consensus. Everybody, they're all behind Tampa.
Tampa won last year with like one arm tied behind their back with Stamkos hurt and Kucherov quote hurt.
I'd argue that they're in the asterisk range of last year's Stanley Cup.
I'd argue that. I know they kind of flex the rule, but to do that without those players, I mean, now they've got them playing at least right now.
When you play in a bad division, you can go the whole season without playing those guys. And
yeah, well, I mean, now you've got a half a division that's a dumpster fire. So I mean, you know what I mean? They're great, and it sucks.
Because they're all going to be in the playoffs. They're going to finish somewhere between 2 and 3 amongst our analysis. The next one, team MVP come end of the season. Who do you have?
Pasta.
Speaking of pasta, did you buy his pasta?
I did not.
I did. I have 2 boxes behind me.
Is it available? Is it actually behind you? Is it Chili's?
Yeah, it's in Stop and Shop. No, behind me, you can't see. I have 2 boxes. One's for Court, but yeah, buy it at Stop and Shop for 88 cents. It's cute.
Oh, that's clever. Pasta.
I've been meaning to, but
sorry. When you said pasta, that made me think of it. I say Marchand. Marchand is crazy. Like, I'm shocked. Not that Marchand, obviously we all know Marchand's good. Pasta's a goal scorer. Bergeron's perfect. But like Marchand's like crazy. Like he's involved in everything. And he just scores like probably more with less people on the ice. I'm shocked.
Kills penalties as well.
He's unreal. And the fact that he's not being like a little, you know, wiener to people as much. Like, you know, we got Freddie T for that. Like, you know, he's actually like he's like hitting his, like, this is, you know, nerd quote, like this is like his final form. And if he's going to do it, and like, I don't know, he seems motivated. If he plays, you know, doesn't be a wiener. It's just, I think Marchand's going to be the MVP of the year, which is weird. And I know that. And the best part is that would piss everybody off.
Everybody outside of here.
Maybe even some, but fine.
Who do you think is going to have more points by the end of the year, Pasta or Marchand?
I think Marchand will.
Points-wise, I think Marshy, but goals, definitely Pasta. And Pasta's coming to the season healthy. If he can stay healthy, I think it's going to be
That's the biggest thing for Pastrnak's whole career is if. It's a big if he can stay healthy, if he's healthy, those are big ifs for him. And that's the reason why I don't think he will be the team MVP this year, because I don't think he will stay healthy throughout the whole year. I'm going to go not the top line. I'm going to go Taylor Hall.
I had a feeling you were.
I'm going to go Taylor Hall because I just didn't want to say the same people that you guys said. And I think he's going to have a pretty big impact on his full season here. I feel like he loves to be here. Clearly, he loves to be here. He re-signed. I think he's getting moved to he's getting moved to the first power play unit. And I think that's going to be a huge, huge, huge upgrade and an uptick in his points. And let's not forget, he not only won MVP of what would have been the Bruins that year, but the entire league he won MVP of. So he is not exactly a slouch here. So I'm going to go Taylor Hall.
I like it. I didn't take him for my MVP because going to our next topic, I have him as the winning the 7th player award.
I said 6th man in our group chat. Clearly that's basketball.
I knew what you meant.
Clearly that's basketball.
What's that?
I was going to be a smart A and be like, you mean Omar, the 6th man?
7th player. Seventh Player Award. It was actually voted on, so this is actually a real award that they gave. So who's going to win the Seventh Player Award this year for the Boston Bruins?
Taylor Hall.
Yeah, I feel like it can't not be Hall, though. I'd like it to be like... You know what I want it to be? DeBrusk. The redemption arc is happening this year.
That was my runner-up option. So I look at the seventh player as you getting more out of a player than what you expect, and I feel like I can't say Taylor Hall when I just put him in the MVP of the team candidate. That's kind of big expectations. If he exceeds that, maybe.
Or
Eric Hall is who I'm gonna go with as our seventh player for the and I feel like he has a chance to win it with fans because I feel like he's talented. I think he's a talented player, and I think that I don't think Bruins fans have know much about him. He's played most of his career in the West, and I just don't think that I don't think that people know too much about him, so they're not gonna have very high expectations. And I think he's gonna be your seventh player.
Well, if you would like to learn more about Eric Hula, head over to the Boston Sports Syndicate website and read the article, the player profile on Eric Hula by yours truly.
Like an absolute pro.
Love it. Love it. Respect it.
Absolute pro.
That's why you pay me the big bucks.
Who will be the anti-seventh man for you guys, which means who do you have high expectations that you think are going to be a dud?
Who will let me down? Nick Ritchie. Oh, wait, he's not here anymore.
And for the record, I feel like this award can already be given.
You think so?
I do.
I know the answer.
It's not DeBrusk.
You're going to say Coyle.
I'm not going to say Coyle.
Oh.
I'm asking you who you think, not who you think I think. Who do you think?
Well, because I think
who's
going to
let you down the
something
most?
Something correct.
That's why I go last. I go last. You can't just cop out and be like, "No, I agree with you." That's why I go last.
Well, okay, I'm going to say Coyle because what if he goes, he plays, he doesn't play well, Stadnica comes up.
He has the potential to be your anti-seventh man.
He has a potential, though I don't want him to.
Okay, Big Country.
That's tough. I'm like, the first person that's coming to mind is Forbat.
Nope. Well, maybe. I thought you were guessing me. But you're in the right vicinity, I'll tell you that.
Oh, if you say that, then I know exactly who you're going with.
Matt Grizzlick is my answer. And I feel like it can already be given because the guy was your first line lefty last year, and now he's already slotted on the third line to play all the way down with Connor Clifton. So you go from playing with Charlie McAvoy, arguably a top 10, 5 defender in the whole league, and now you're down to playing with Connor Clifton, arguably a top 500 player defenseman in the league. I think this award's already been given. Don't think he's going to see any power play time. Maybe on the second unit. Maybe. But I would rather see Mike Riley there than Grizzlick. This award's already been won. It's Grizzlick. The season hasn't even started yet. But you should have had high expectations for Grizzlick coming in, seeing he was your number one D pair last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think just the way the Bruins defense was set up last year, I mean, he kind of was forced into that first defensive pair role.
Okay, but let's not act like Mike Riley or Derek Forbort are exactly household names that came in. They didn't sign freaking Oliver Ekman-Larsson, which is a short shot, or Mark Giordano, which is an absolute short shot first line top defensive pair.
They re-signed
Riley, who was here last year and didn't play on the top line. Because Grizzlick was playing.
I think Forbat and Riley are a little bit bigger players than Grizzlick.
Yeah, no,
you don't want two small, like 5'9", puck moving defensemen on your top line.
Well,
you want a little diversity there. And honestly, I think Carlo belongs on the first line with McAvoy. I mean, if Carlo didn't end up getting hurt, like,
yeah, two righties, you know, though, that's not gonna happen.
That's your top line.
Two righties though, so that's not gonna happen.
It's true.
Could you also say Ullmark has a potential to let us down?
No,
honestly, my initial thought, I thought for Trav was going to be Swayman.
Swayman, I think, as a general consensus, as Bruins fans work, could possibly be the seventh player, because the expectation of Bruins fans for Swayman, I think, is way too high. But I'm a realist, so I don't subscribe to that kind of nonsense. I keep it real. And I think, I mean, he's a backup. He's going to be your starter. He's your backup. So you need to temper those expectations. So maybe for the Bruins fan base, if they voted on who the anti-seventh, maybe he would win that then. Now for the tough, hard-hitting question. Anti-MVP. Who will be the worst player for the Boston Bruins this season?
DeBrusk.
The answer is very simple.
You say that, but it's not, and it makes me anxious. Because you didn't write it down, so even if I did prepare...
You told me you didn't prepare because you were doing spreadsheets anyway.
Yeah, well...
Worst player this season on the Bruins. You can even say, I'll even say, as far as statistically, the worst player on the Boston Bruins.
Trent Frederick.
Bang!
No way! No way! That's wrong. And it's Boston knock over that.
And it's
get out of here.
Statistically, maybe. However, some things are more than just numbers, all right?
Yeah.
Penalty minutes is also just a number.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need grit, which can't be measured. Is a man not measured by the amount of grit he holds in his heart?
Let me read you the stat line, Wabba.
Oh, please don't.
59 games played. Wait, is this just last year? No, this is his career. 59 games played. 4 goals.
Good. I feel like I'm
impressed. This is amazing. 1 assist.
There we go.
1.
Good.
Jeremy Lauzon has more assists with the Seattle, has the same amount of assists with the Seattle Kraken as Trent Frederick has with the Boston Bruins.
I'm not familiar with that team.
Negative 13. 80 penalty minutes. Interestingly enough, of his 4 goals, 3 of them are game-winning goals. That's a clutch player right there.
That is.
That's clutch.
That's the difference between third and fourth.
That is a clutch player shooting at 6.3%. That is a clutch player.
6.8 shots you don't take. I think Gretzky said that.
Yeah. That's it.
That's the quote.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
I understand he might not be the best statistically. However, he could also surprise you. Who knows? I heard he put on 28 pounds of muscle.
No, that was Stanika.
And 3 feet of height. He's got a wrist shot that can, it's like Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, can set the net on fire so fast. So watch out. Player to watch.
Who do you have? Who did you say is your anti-MVP, Wabba?
I would say DeBrusk again. He has a he will either.
You think DeBrusk is going to be worse than Frederick? Do I need to read that to you again?
No. But I'm just saying, in terms of like, DeBrusk is probably going to be the most polarizing player. He's not going to have an average season. It will either surprise people and people will be so stoked that he's doing well, or they will be so disappointed in his performance. I think this is an important season for him, and it's not going to he's either going to do really well or really bad. And if he does average, that's going to count as very bad. I think people are like, I think this is a pivotal season for him here, because I think fans are kind of at it, and everyone keeps bringing up 2015 and all that nonsense, and you know, all the stuff with Zboril now, and he's kind of our last grasp at, you know, that being a good decision and all that stuff.
None of those were good decisions. They all sucked.
But who knows? I mean, hey, if he lights it up this year and ends up, you know, being a difference maker. You know, who knows? But I think that's why I say him.
All right, let's do a fill in the blank. The first player traded off of this roster will be blank.
DeBrusk. It's not the top six.
A lot of dead air here. A lot of things. No, I wish you guys, I wish people could see. I wish people could see the faces right now. Just the sheer thought that both of these guys are.
I'm looking at the roster right now.
You're not gonna sit here and tell me that they're not gonna trade anybody off of this roster.
Maybe they trade out of the AHL.
Honestly, the first person that comes to mind is like Connor Clifton.
Can I say Wagner?
You can say Wagner.
I know he's not on the roster, but he's talented. He's an NHL player. He's just not on the team because they're apparently better players this year, where there's not a good spot for him. So I'd say Wagner.
Not technically on the roster, but I'll allow it.
It's a good answer, says I.
I think John Moore would be traded before.
Oh, God, I hope so, please.
I think he would be traded before Wagner, but that's me. But neither one is on the roster.
I mean, Clifton, I think they really could move on from Clifton.
What if they've moved on from Grizzlick? Like
Jake DeBrusk. The answer is Jake DeBrusk.
That's what I said first, and then I got paranoid.
But you know what, though? Like, yes, I mean, Jake DeBrusk is the easy answer. But why haven't they moved on from him yet? Why hasn't there been any trade for him yet? Like, so I'm thinking the Bruins are asking too much for DeBrusk.
Oh, 100%.
And he's not going to get moved.
Well, here's the thing. As you get closer to the trade deadline, if you're in contention and you want to move on from the player and you want to upgrade in that spot, that's when you do it. You come down on your value. Maybe you take a bigger contract in return. Give him a fresh start somewhere. Maybe he needs a little spark. That's what they thought was going to happen with Donato when they traded him. I mean, that's exactly what they did with Donato.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was kind of a fringe success. You know, I mean, he was a hometown favorite. I guess DeBrusk isn't really a hometown favorite, but and then they traded him and they got Coyle, an upgrade, a little bit bigger of a contract. And that's what they did. And I think that's probably the deal you're going to see for DeBrusk.
I like the Moore idea as much as I know.
Moore was going to be my answer, but then I tripped you for saying Wagner, and he's not technically on the roster, so then I had to change it on the fly.
That hasn't stopped us from being hypocrites before.
It's true. It's true. Not wrong.
Don't let it stop you now.
Not wrong. The blank will be the starting goaltender for the Boston Bruins for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Tukarask.
Tuukka Rask.
So I know.
Two U's, two K's, two
that was like word association.
I agree. I actually agree, which gets me to the point, which gets me to this point of being, I think it was Neely or Sweeney, one of them, might have been Neely, said that they have not ruled out a return for Tuukka Rask this season or David Krejci.
Oh, yes, let's go. Give me Krejci back. There's no way.
If I understand the reports correctly, there's been contact between Krejci and the Bruins and Rask and the Bruins in saying that should you want to come back,
we have
give us
cap
a call.
Space for you.
Give
of
us a call.
We have. Dude, have you seen how much the U.S. has beefed up our Czech embassy? It's unreal how the lengths that this country's trying to get them back. Like, have you seen it? I know that's like one of like the government's like top priorities. Like, he's going over there
to get Krejci back.
He's playing minor league hockey over there, just like dunking on these fools. It's like straight up like it's like putting up double digits. It's got to be boring. And it's got to make his arms sore from scoring all those goals and raising his hand so much and celebrating. He's got to get back here to get back to some sense of normalcy. And that's why we have to extradite him.
And the Bruins have $2.4 million in cap, so they could literally sign them both for like $1.2.
Yeah, they could sign them both.
1.2, bring them both back. Like
get Jagr too while you're at it. Why not rescue him?
No.
He owns that team he plays for, you know.
Yeah, I know. Just take, you know, PTO for the playoffs.
PTO for the playoffs. Oh, God.
Dude, Detroit's making themselves known right now. Oh,
Detroit
boy.
Blows.
They're winning 3-1 over Tampa.
Tampa blows.
Tampa is not looking good right now.
Yeah, well, you know, you lose
Ciampa.
You lose Tyler Johnson, and your whole organization goes to crap. So that's the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. So seriously, take your heart out of it. Think with your head. Do you think, in your heart of hearts and head of heads, that Tuukka Rask will be back in a Boston Bruins uniform next season?
Oh. Next season?
This season. Will he play for the Bruins this season? Fun fact, I actually picked him up in one of my fantasy hockey leagues. He was just sitting on the waiver wire, and I was like, you know what, this might be worth it. Turns out you can't IR a player who's not on a roster. He's injured. He's listed on injured reserve, but because he's not on a roster, you can't put him on IR. Fun fact. But anyway, will he be a Boston Bruin by the end of this season?
I really do think he will be.
Yeah. He's working out with them, right? Like, I saw articles about it.
I don't know if you can do that once the season starts.
He was.
But I don't know. I don't know that you can do it.
I think he will be. I feel like they would have said no. It would have been like, Ullmark's our guy. But I feel like the door's just been left open for him. I feel like they want him back. I think he's going to be the starting goalie, or, you know, once he gets back. And we're just going to overpay for a backup, and Swayman's going to go down, or he's going to be the third goalie.
And same question, David Krejci.
Krejci's a little – I don't think so on Krejci.
You think he's done?
At least for this year. I'll keep the door open for maybe next year, but I don't think he'll be back this year.
I don't, and I want him to. I don't think there is. And because doesn't he have to clear waivers a different way? Isn't it a little tougher for him to actually get back on the team?
No, I don't think so. He can sign.
Just sign, yeah.
Oh, they can just sign him?
I believe so.
Because he was a free agent, right?
Yeah.
They could just sign him. I mean, any team could literally just sign Krejci or Tuukka, you know. But yeah, I think they both said Bruins or nothing.
Yeah, it's not like he was under contract and then, like, went over and he got, for lack of a better term, loaned. I know it's a soccer thing, but he got loaned over to a Czech team. And then when he comes back, he's got to go back to the Bruins. You can sign with anybody.
Oh, well, I don't think he will, matter. And it stinks. But so I hope he does.
Here's how I feel on the matter for both guys. It depends on how well the Bruins are doing. When Tuukka Rask is healthy and can come back and play, how's Linus Ullmark playing at that time? Are the Bruins a better goaltender away from making a legitimate Stanley Cup push? Are the Bruins 2 months into the season, 3 months into the season, still lacking depth at the center position? Lacking that second line center? Will they slot better if Coyle drops down to the third line? That's what I think matters to me. I think there's a possibility if they're in contention. And, you know, the things I just said lined up. I think that there's a chance that either one could be back. I think there's a good – not a good chance. I think there's a chance that both of them could be back.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. It really is depending on how the season's going. But, I mean, whether the Bruins are playing well or bad, David Krejci slotting into that lineup, helps the team rather than hurt it.
Even the third line.
He'd come back and be on that second line.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, let's say Coyle is like the best. You know, let's say it's like the second coming of Krejci plus, you know, 2.0. You can still slot him in at 3 and 4 and he's still a benefit. It's just an easy way to. Like, if they're in first and they're just rolling over people, I would sign for a veteran minimum to have my name on the cup again. Like, it's just so easy.
They're not going to roll, but
I get what you're saying. I'm saying hypothetically. Like, yeah. Obvious. But, like, you know, free ride to the cup. Why not?
Yeah,
minutes a game.
I don't disagree, and I don't think you're wrong. I think that if they're if they're there, there's no reason for them not to.
I think Tuukka's a little more intriguing because if Swayman and Ullmark are both struggling, then yes, Tuukka would help. But I mean, if they're both playing the top of their game and they're playing well, I mean, you don't really want to mess up that, you know. that chemistry between those two goalies. Like, you're just gonna make things worse by bringing a third goalie in.
Or so. You have him come in and he's able to, like, help. Obviously, Omark hasn't gone to the playoffs, so at least if you have someone there with experience, it's good to just, I don't know, it's like having a, what's his name? Castle. What's the backup we have for football? Weird analogy.
Ryan Hoyer.
Hoyer, I don't know, whatever. He's good as a backup because he knows other teams. Tuukka knows other teams. He's been playing a million years. Maybe that's an opportunity for him to kind of be a coach, but you sign him as a player. Just a thought.
I don't disagree.
That's weird.
I mean, he would. Twice. I mean, he would. What'd you say? That's twice.
It's like, that's weird. That's twice. He does disagree.
I would say that he probably wouldn't come back as like a player, like a coaching type player. But the other thing is if Rask comes back, it's pretty much the end of Swayman because you have to waive him, correct? And he's not going to clear waivers.
You could probably roll. Well, he's a two-way forward, so I mean, he's on a two-way contract.
He's a two-way forward. Is he? I thought that that's why they ended up ultimately getting rid of. Oh no, it's Vladar.
Vladar gone.
Vladar was not. Yeah.
Didn't have any more waves.
Do you think if he's one way, do you think they'd throw him at like right wing four and just roll him as a four?
Healthy
like
healthy scratch him. Maybe I probably not. I'm just over here looking at my fantasy hockey lineup. I had to drop Rask before I forgot. The last prediction, not really Bruins related, last prediction. Who wins the 2021-2022 Stanley Cup? I guess it could be Bruins related.
Right off the rip. Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, damn it. I got to pick a new team.
I'm going to say one that's not going to shock you.
Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins. But let me tell you why. This is going to.
Bruins.
All right. If I may, for those listening.
You may not.
Grab your tin foil hat. Just put it on your head. Get those footy pajamas. Put them on. I saw Eichel at the Sox game with the Bruins. That's Jesus. Called big brain observation. Eichel says, F you guys in Buffalo, just like the rest of us. I want to go somewhere else. We screw Buffalo again. We trade them John Moore. No, we actually make a trade. I don't know what the trade is. But we get Eichel. Eichel comes here, center two, plays with Hall. We just stuff it down the NHL's throats, and they end up winning. But no, a little bit of hyperbolic. But like I think the Eichel thing would be fun, but I think the Bruins are going to win because I have to.
You don't have to.
Yeah, because if it's Bergeron's last year, you gotta have faith. You know, if I learned anything from watching that documentary Midnight Mass on Netflix, it's you gotta have faith.
I wanted to say Colorado. Big Country stole my thunder. So now I'm gonna find a new team. And now I'm torn between two teams.
What are they?
My long shot is gonna be Winnipeg. It's gonna be Winnipeg.
Short shot.
Vegas, Carolina. I'm landing somewhere between Vegas and Carolina. But Vegas has got to go through Colorado. Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina.
Carolina. So I really wanted to say Colorado, but I guess I'll land on Carolina. I guess they're all right. I don't love my pick anymore. I loved it when it was Colorado. I don't love it anymore.
You're allowed to pick the same thing.
I'm switching back. I'm going to Colorado. Yeah, but I was trying to just bring up more teams. You know, I didn't want to talk about the same team.
Carolina, like, I mean, I know they got an upgrade in goaltending, but, I mean, they did lose Dougie Hamilton, who is a good defenseman, but did they really get anything to replace him, though? Like, I'm looking at the team right now.
Tony D'Angelo. He's a terrible human being, but is arguably probably a top four, maybe even a top two guy. He's stupid talented. He just turns out to be a terrible human being. But landed on a team. So if you're a terrible human being and you're on a team, you must be pretty damn good. At Antonio Brown.
True.
I mean,
I don't know.
At Tom Wilson.
At Tom, no, I don't know if Tom Wilson's a terrible human being. Antonio Brown confirmed.
Fine. Fair.
But at Tony D'Angelo confirmed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still on a team, though.
Crap bag.
I mean, he was probably the Rangers' best defenseman last year, and they just were like, actually, we're okay. Thanks, but no thanks.
Well, the team was like, well, if he suits up, none of us are playing.
Yeah.
So
thanks, but no thanks. And then Carolina was like, thank you. Yeah, I'll take that.
I love how he allegedly has like a burner account on Twitter and just agrees with like everything he says, and everybody knows it. It's like NY fan when like 12 like numbers. And everybody just follows it and just gives him crap every time it talks. What a wiener.
Yeah, terrible human. Signed a big deal. Signed a pretty big contract. And then the Rangers are like, actually, we're all set. Thank you.
Ugh. Hope that one doesn't bite them in the butt.
It probably won't. Because they're not very good.
Nice.
Anyway, any other predictions, any other questions you guys want to get out talking about the NHL the upcoming NHL season? Or the upcoming Bruins season?
No, I'm just ready for this Bruins season to start. I can't believe we had to wait this long.
I cannot agree.
It's ridiculous. So, I mean, Saturday night's game one against Dallas. All right, how do you guys think they're going to do game one? Do you think this has been too long of a break?
I think it's a good challenge, game one, is what I think. I think Dallas is a sneaky good team. I think you have Sagan, you have Ben.
Who's the
Russian that plays left-handed right wing?
Radulov.
They've got Pavelski. I guess that's really
what's that,
they had a young
Robertson?
Kid.
Yeah.
No Robertson.
No Dallas way. Is playing tonight too.
Yeah, everybody's gonna play before the Bruins. Everybody, and they obviously have Klingberg. And they get Suter. I think they have Suter too.
Heiskanen.
They got a good team. They signed Holtby. They got a good team. Robertson's
Seattle Kraken's winning right now.
Oh, they do have Robertson. You're right. I didn't mean goalie. They do have Robertson. You are correct.
Things every now and then.
You are correct, sir. Holtby, Bishop, and Khudobin are their goaltenders.
Hoodie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they signed Holtby for a 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bishop must not be playing. You have knee surgery.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a good challenge right off the jump, and I think that Dallas won't have first game jitters. They would have already played. And... yeah, I think it's gonna be a good test right off the jump, and I think that starting out hot, especially against a Western Conference team, is important.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, Ben Bishop is on long term IR.
Yeah, I think he had knee surgery, or hip surgery maybe. The big thing for the Bruins is gonna be to win out of division games and especially out of conference games, to try and keep pace with teams like Tampa and Florida, because like I said, the division's so bad that. Mm-hmm. Everyone's gonna clean up on the bottom of the division. So you gotta win your out of conference games, and division games.
I agree.
I just hope we win.
Are you gonna watch Waba?
Bruins, yes.
You will.
Non-Bruins, no.
It'll be a full test Sunday.
Well, here's what happens. People just tell me how it goes. So the benefit of streaming is people tell me how the game goes. They tell me what they think. I marinate those takes and I bring them here.
So you don't even have to watch the game. You can just go into your stream.
Yeah, sometimes. Which you do at twitch.tv.
Go ahead. We're done here. Go ahead. Do it. Go.
Sorry, that was stupid.
Go. You can do it. Go ahead. We're done here.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm going on twitch.tv/wobbleplays. Hey.
Still whispers.
I'm on the internet.
Twitch.tv/wobbleplays.
I'm on the internet.
I'm on the internet. big presence on the internet.
Do you know who I am? Google me.
Yeah, Google.
Dude, wobbleplays is excellent SEO. Just, by the way,
I'm gonna use that for our next article, SEO wobbleplays. See what pops up.
do it.
Player profile, Wappa Blaze.
That's what you do, man. I'm telling you. Good. And also, if you search Trent Frederick T-shirts. I'm sorry. That's stupid.
Like the holding of the diaphragm to try and stop laughing. Oh, God. All right. Go ahead. You can do your thing for real. Tell us where you can find you.
You can find me at twitch.tv/WobblePlays, WobblePlays on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. YouTube, a lot of videos in the past few days, so make sure you check that out as well. Hope to see you. We can talk hockey. I can marinate your takes and use them as my own. or you can come and watch fake hockey, which I play.
It's the best. If you want your takes aired live on the podcast, just go to WobblePlays.
Uncredited, unpaid. Just go to WobblePlays. You want to be my unpaid intern?
Ryan, go.
Well, if you want to actually just come and talk hockey and not have your take stolen, you can go to Big Country 7904 over at twitch.tv, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. I think that's all the platforms the kids are hanging out these days.
Turns out it is. You can find us. You can find us on Twitter at BBNG Podcast. You can find us on YouTube, although there's nothing posted. At Bleed Black and Gold. You can find us on Twitch, BBNG Podcast. If you want to go to a Bruins game this season, you can do so, and you can save yourself $20 in the process by going to SeatGeek.com using code BSS at checkout. Big shout out to Boston Sports Syndicate, BostonSportsSyndicate.com, where you can find player profiles for some of the Bruins players and breaking news. We have finally brought on a Bruins writer who will be contributing this season for us. A full-time Bruins writer. Big Country did some moonlighting as a writer, and I did one article, so I did some moonlighting as well. But we have a full-time guy who's going to be covering the Bruins for us this season. So I'm excited for that. So see some Bruins content over at BostonSportsSyndicate.com. And as always, thank you too for putting up with me for an hour or so.
That's what I do.
As always.
And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Go Bees.